be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Speak this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Many years ago, when I was a poor graduate student, I lived in a kind of dumpy one-bedroom apartment. The walls in our building were really thin, which would normally be a big disadvantage. But as it turned out, my next-door neighbors were both music majors, singers. And like a lot of choral types, we have some in our presence, like a lot of choral types, they had this way of just bursting into song at random moments during the day. So I'd be there, unexpectedly, doing my dishes, or slogging through a term paper, and through my thin walls, into my grim little apartment, could come this amazing music. A little bit of unexpected beauty drifting into my world. And I think about that apartment at this time of year because that little apartment that I lived in so long ago helps me understand our Advent readings, especially the ones about the coming of God's kingdom. And here's how that works. When we modern Christians think about the kingdom of God, we often think about it in spatial metaphors, and we conceive of the kingdom of God as something far, far away and very different from our own world, removed from our experience here every day as we slog through life. And when we hear stories like our gospel lesson this morning, when we hear about the finish of things and the coming of the kingdom, it all can sound quite destructive to us. It can sound a little bit like God has decided this nasty old world of ours is only worth writing off and burning up. The fortunate folks will be carried off to that far, far away place, the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes, if you're like me, and you drift into that way of thinking, it's a little bit hard to figure out what to do with that kind of story. Maybe we should set these apocalyptic moments from the prophets and the gospels, maybe we should just set them to one side as relics of a bygone age, as a coping strategy for a persecuted church, perhaps. Maybe we should just get on with the difficult task of trying to be good people. I get that, and I'm tempted to it. But if we do that, we miss something crucial. Because these apocalyptic stories, difficult as they can be to understand, these stories that Jesus tells, these stories that echo the prophets, they're actually full of good news and hope. But we have to come at them the right way. We need to be instructed by Scripture here. We might picture the kingdom of God as something incredibly distant, something utterly removed from the world we live in every day. But the Bible, especially the Old Testament, sees things very differently. The Old Testament tells us God's main purpose in creation is to forge a loving relationship with us. A deepening, ongoing, trust-filled relationship. Not to be far away from us. Not to be a distant God who winds the watch, flicks the switch, and then goes off to do whatever deities do when they're not creating universes. Uh-uh. In the Old Testament, throughout Scripture, God's kingdom is not far away. It's close. It's interwoven with our everyday world. It's flowing along in parallel with the life we live. God's realm and our realm are close together. But tragically, somehow separated one from another. As if by a veil or a thin wall. And out of grace, and yes, there's a whole lot of grace in the Old Testament, we see in the story of our salvation, God choosing to reach across that veil, to reach across that gap, choosing to be intimately involved in our everyday, ordinary world. He chooses to make a covenant with an ordinary man named Abraham. He chooses to lead an ordinary community of people called Israel, so that they can lead everyone else back to him. He chooses, the Psalms tell us over and over again, God chooses to live on this nice, gentle hill in the middle of the promised land. He chooses to live in a place called Zion. It's not what we'd have predicted, but hey, he's God. Scripture tells us, Scripture instructs us, out of our intuitions into something different. The realm of God and the realm of humans are not far removed from one another. They're close. And sometimes if you're really attentive, sometimes if you're really listening hard and shutting out the silly distractions, sometimes echoes of God's realm can be heard here. Sometimes, if we're very attentive and looking for them, images of God's realm, glimpses of God's kingdom, make their way across that veil and into our world. Kind of like that beautiful music drifting through those thin walls in my apartment. And changing my life. And I know this all sounds very poetic and preachery, but you've experienced this. Every one of us has. We have all experienced moments when that wall, that veil, that separates God's realm from ours becomes very thin, even threadbare, sometimes transparent. Those times when we know the place where God's where God rules is not far off, but close. Times when we know God is not distant, but interwoven into our lives. We have those experiences. It happened to a friend of mine in a powerful conversion experience that she wasn't expecting, when the God she wasn't sure even existed spoke to her in words deeper than words about the path her future was going to take, a path that was going to be healthier, more whole, allow her to serve more deeply, love more completely, a path her life still takes. God's realm is not far from our realm. Sometimes that bridge, that gap is bridged, that veil is pierced in the form of a gift, something completely unearned and unexpected, the healing of a wounded body or a wounded spirit, or the granting of a deeply held desire, a longed-for hope. Sometimes, and this is the way it works more often for me, sometimes that kingdom of God edges its way into my silly little kingdom. Sometimes it comes in the form of a challenge, a new ministry to take on, a new person that I know I'm being called to forgive and love, or a deeper understanding that I'm being asked to explore. And regularly, for each one of us here, God's kingdom finds its way into our realm. God's world becomes part of our world in sacramental moments. A Russian Orthodox friend explained to me once that in Orthodox spirituality, when we sing the Sanctus, the song at the altar that goes, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might," when we join our voices in that, at that moment, heaven and earth are united in Orthodox spirituality. And we are singing with angels and archangels. And it's not just poetry. It's not just a metaphor. It's happening. My rational mind wants to tell me that this is just a song we sing together, but there's a deeper part of me, the place where God speaks, that knows exactly what those Russian Orthodox folks mean. I bet you do too. And all this helps us as we journey through this season of Advent. All this helps us when Jesus uses that apocalyptic language that we find so hard to understand, when he echoes the great prophets like Isaiah and Daniel, as he does this morning. Because it helps us to realize that when Jesus speaks that way, he's actually giving a message full of reassurance and hope. He's not saying that one day God will finally give up on this world, write it off, and torch it. He's telling us that those moments we have when heaven and earth are close, those moments we've all experienced, those are real. Those are the most real things in our lives. And he's telling us that those moments will expand. There'll be more, and they'll be made more complete. He's telling us that the process of reuniting heaven and earth, that those moments give us a sign of, that process will be complete by the power of God. The veil will be torn. Heaven will be ripped open, and God will join us. The wall will drop. And our world will be rejoined with God's world as it's always been meant to be. and we'll live in his presence. When Jesus uses this apocalyptic language, it's not about destruction. It's about recreation, renewal. It's about salvation. Like all moments when heaven and earth meet, there's deep change, perhaps even frightening change. It's no small thing coming into the presence of the living God. And that's what Jesus and the prophets mean when they talk about the powers of this world being shaken. When God reunites heaven and earth, things are going to change, not just in our hearts, but throughout all of creation. That's what that language about the sun not giving its light and the moon going dark, that's what all that means. The kingdom of God is not far, it's near. That's what Jesus means when he says, be awake, be listening, be watching. That's what Jesus means when he says, the Son of Man is near, even at the very gates. And this is the season when we sharpen up our vision to see him. This is the season when we tune our ears to hear him. Hear the deeper meaning of our Advent readings. The kingdom of God is not far. The kingdom of God is near. Always has been. If you listen closely, you can hear the beautiful music drifting through the wall. No. One day that